Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, we're in Acts chapter 2. This is God's Word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" However, some made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Now, folks, we look at that and there's a lot that's miraculous there. There was this sound like a violent rushing wind. I mean, it was not like, you know, a breeze or even a rustling in the trees. It was like a violent, translate scary, wind. I mean, this was a real attention grabber. And something that appeared like tongues of fire or flames of fire that came to rest on each of them. Very strange. If that were to happen in this room right now, do you think we'd go, "Oh, that's neat, that's nice. I've never seen that before"? No, this was an overwhelming experience, awe-inspiring. And I am sure that it would have seemed the sort of thing that would frighten a lot of people. I'm quite confident it would frighten a lot of religious folks. But the fact is, God did this. And then the people began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, as he enabled them to do so. They were the ones speaking. The Holy Spirit was the one enabling. And the people were hearing their own languages being spoken. Now, the first time I ever heard the suggestion that part of the miracle was the hearing was when I was in college, and I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. And part of the reason that I thought it was utterly ridiculous that that would be part of the miracle is because I'd never heard that before. Nobody else had ever suggested that. As the years have gone by, one of the things I have noticed is that one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives is the interpretation of tongues. So I'm not going to presume to side with a particular group of scholars as to whether or not it was a two-part miracle, both in the speaking and in the hearing. What I can tell you is it is presented as all being miraculous, including the tongues of fire over the head, including the sound of a violent rushing wind, including the fact that the people were able, by whatever mechanism God intended, to hear his praises in their own language. So, first of all, let me suggest to you that the most amazing thing in what Peter proclaims concerning what's going on, what God is up to, is the last line of his quote from the Old Testament, verse 21. I mean, we're talking about signs in the heavens and on earth, but here's the thing that should just blow our minds. Listen, this is God's word. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow! God is saying, you don't have to be good enough. God is saying, you don't have to be smart enough. God is saying, you don't have to have your life together. You don't have to have figured everything out. You don't have to have cleaned up your act. You can come to the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ just as you are. That is amazing. That's more amazing than the sound of a rushing mighty wind. That is more amazing than tongues of fire over the heads of the people there. It is more amazing than speaking in a language that you didn't know and being heard and understood by people whose native language that is. More amazing than any of that is the fact that God is now pouring out the gift of his Spirit and offering salvation all over the world, and whoever puts their trust in Jesus Christ will be saved. That is amazing. And it also absolutely removes any excuse that anybody anywhere ever has regarding being saved. Because the Lord doesn't say, well, if you'll do this, 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 and this, then I'll save you. Well, I just can't do that. What if God had given us a list of things to do? But instead, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that it would be like the bronze serpent that God told Moses to make. You exalt that, you lift it up, and you say to the people who are dying, look and live. Look and live. And whoever turns in obedience to God and looks is healed. They're saved. Their life is spared. Jesus said, that's what it's like with Messiah. Whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Amazing. So nobody can say, well, I just wasn't able to do. You know what? We discover as we read the rest of the scriptures, it is only by God's grace and his power that we're able to turn and look. Our faith is a gift from God. We owe it all to him. But nobody has the right to say, well, God made it too difficult. It is when we refuse to turn and trust Him that we experience that wrath that abides on those who do not believe.
Every now and then people ask me, who pays for the airtime for you to be on the radio? I can understand why people would be mystified by that. The answer is, our listeners do. We would really appreciate it if you would join with others in keeping these broadcasts on the air. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website. That's probably the easiest way to contact us, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. There's all kinds of stuff there, even a picture of my family. If you haven't seen my family, you've missed a blessing. We've got quite a tribe. 7 kids, 8 grandkids. They're not all on the website, but enough of them are to give you the impression. Please go to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the books, the videos that are available. We've got a lot of stuff that we would love to share with you. And we would really appreciate hearing from you. God bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
So, as we look at this morning, there are a couple of questions that I think we need to answer before we go on. The first one is, what is this tongues thing? I grew up in a church where my dad preached the Bible, and I know he preached this passage, but suffice it to say, I really don't remember what Dad had to say about tongues. And so when I was in my teen years and I found out that a couple of my friends had started going to a prayer meeting, and at that prayer meeting something had happened to them and they had started speaking in tongues, I was very upset. Now, one of these two friends was kind of a juvenile delinquent, and we all prayed for him, but, you know, if he got into something like speaking in tongues, well, you know, it was just the latest misadventure. But when his brother, who was a sweet, dear Christian, lovely guy, really close friend of mine, when he started speaking in tongues, well, this has got to be stopped. I'm just the man to do it. I was, I think, 15 at this point. And, you know, that's man enough. So I said, I was invited to go to this weird Bible study, and I said, okay, I'll go. But before I go, I was going to look up the scriptures. I looked up every scripture in the New Testament that had to do with tongues so that I could go down there and straighten those people out. Because I knew if tongues was a good thing, I would have been taught about it by my parents because they love the Lord and believe the Bible. And so, I mean, you know, I would already know this stuff and be familiar with this stuff if it was good. It's a little like something that happened with my preschool son when we first moved to the church in Atlanta. One of the choir members was delighted to tell me just before we walked out into the sanctuary, "You won't believe what your son did in preschool this morning." We were trying to teach the children about tithing. And we asked them, "Do you know what tithing is?" And they all shook their heads. They did not know. Well, why would you teach a preschooler about tithing? I mean, unless you start allowance while they're still in diapers. I mean, that's ridiculous. But she said, "I looked at your little boy and I said, well, I would think you would know what tithing is." He shook his head. And she said, "I bet your father tithes." And he said, "No, ma'am, he would never do that." You see, my son felt, if I don't know about this, it must not be a good thing, because my parents don't do bad stuff, they do good stuff. So if I don't know about what this thing is, it must not be good. That's where I was. My preschool son can be forgiven for that. But at age 15, I was in the same position when it came to tongues. And that is, if mom and dad didn't teach me about this, it must be something I don't need to know about. And I would submit to you that there are pastors and tons of pew sitters who don't know about tongues because nobody ever taught them. And even though it's in there in the Bible, it's not something we talk about very much because we don't want people to think we're weird. Okay? We're not some of those people, you know. I mean, we take our faith seriously, but not like that. So, and let me tell you, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. Okay? Please don't think, oh no, he's going to tell us all that's normal. No, we're going to get there. Okay? Just stay with me. I got out my Bible before I went to that Bible study, and I looked up every scripture in the New Testament about tongues, and I was astonished at what I found. I really was. And there was a number of references that talked about tongues, and none of them seemed to present it as a bad, weird thing. Huh. As a matter of fact, the only people in this chapter who treat tongues in a derogatory manner are the unbelievers who are mocking and saying these men are drunk with new wine. And I don't think those are supposed to be our role models. And Peter specifically refutes them, even though he does it with good humor. By the way, if you ever wonder where do preachers get the idea of starting out with some humor, Peter did it right here at the day of Pentecost. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, that's a little humor. But I did find that there are some scriptures about tongues that tell us that in public worship, there should not be more than two or at the most three who speak in tongues. And that it must be one at a time, not all at the same time. And that it's under the control of the individual so that one can stop and give another person an opportunity. So it's not some out of control behavior. And that it must only be done if there is someone there who has the ability to interpret. Because if there's no interpreter, it's going to be wasted breath. It's going to detract from the glory of God rather than giving glory to God. So, okay. Those were the rules. And man, let me tell you, at 15, I was really big on rules. Okay? So I went down there with the little pieces of paper in my Bible, ready to shoot these folks down for their aberrant theology and bizarre behavior. And I was going to make sure if anybody did speak in tongues, it was no more than two, or at the most three. And it was one at a time, and it was only if there was an interpretation. And I went to the meeting, and nobody spoke in tongues. Nobody talked about speaking in tongues. Nobody sang about speaking in tongues. There was nothing about tongues. It was just a whole bunch of stuff about Jesus and his blood and how the blood of Jesus is what covers our sins and changes our lives, makes us new, and defeats the enemy. Well, it was a good message. People were nice, and they were friendly to me, and since I hadn't encountered the bizarre and aberrant stuff, I decided I'd come back the next week and see if I could catch them then. So I did. I came back the next week, and eventually, week by week, one night, somebody, one individual, spoke in tongues. Hair on my neck stood up. I thought, this is bizarre. I've never heard anything like this before. I thought, that's one. I'm counting. And right after he did that, the guy who was hosting the meeting provided what sounded an awful lot like an interpretation talking about the greatness of God. And so it's like, okay, no rules broken tonight. Phooey. Now see, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but I sure would have that night because I didn't love those people. I was there as the self-righteous Pharisee looking for an opportunity to criticize and correct. And these people, doggone it, were doing things in a biblical manner, decently in an order. How am I going to nail them for that? The mercy of God, instead of striking me dead, he allowed me to keep coming, and experience wonderful blessings through my relationships with those people who became some of my closest brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, in this passage, we're introduced to speaking in tongues.
Well, I just want to clarify, Pastor, I don't know if you've read this, but a number of the commentaries indicate that what was happening in the book of Acts very clearly was that they were speaking in other languages. And by the time you get over to the Corinthian problem, that was completely different, because there they were not speaking apparently in languages. They were speaking just in ecstatic utterance, which was a very commonplace, pagan, even demonic manifestation of just aberrant behavior. Over in the letter of the Corinthians, that's what Paul's having to deal with, is the Corinthians were basically bringing over their pagan behaviors into the church, and Paul was having to rebuke them for that.
Yeah, that's why Paul said to the Corinthians, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all.
Well, yes, I don't know why he would have said that to them.
See, I don't understand, since Paul didn't hesitate to correct people and to call them down and to tell them that they've got to leave their pagan ways behind, why didn't he just tell the Corinthians what those commentators want us to tell the Corinthians? And that is, what you're doing is not valid. Stop it. No, instead, Paul said to the Corinthians, you need to do this decently and in order. Do you really think that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God said through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, this demonic pagan behavior should be done one at a time, and no more than two or three during a worship service? Do you think that's what he was saying? Or do you think maybe those commentators who want to say that what the Corinthians were doing is not validly treated as tongues have a different agenda other than sticking to the Word of God? And that is to legitimize their form of worship, which excludes something that the New Testament doesn't exclude. What do you think? I would submit to you that the cessationists work very hard, however sincerely they may work, they work very hard to legitimize what they are comfortable with. And they're not comfortable with something they haven't experienced personally. If it didn't happen to me, it can't happen to you. I would submit to you that their arguments, however couched in Greek grammar or in the history of the church, fall short of their own published standards of biblical interpretation. And it is very sad, in my view, that often more liberal theologians have been open to anything, including God, than some conservatives. And I say that as a recovering Pharisee. You understand? I'm not saying we ought to be more like the liberals. Well, I want to be liberal in my giving. I want to be liberal in love. But I don't want to be open to anything that's not scriptural. But I don't want to be closed to anything that is scriptural. Does that make sense? So, we're going to take a sneak preview of some coming attractions in the book of Acts with regard to tongues.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this message, and we hope you'll be sure to tune in next time when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit PastorWood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit PastorWood.org today. That's PastorWood.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at PastorWood.org. That's PastorWood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is PastorWood.org.